It really is an enormous pleasure to be here tonight, and I thank you for the warmth of your welcome, and if I may say so, I thank the choir for the glory of the music. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you very, very much indeed. It's not only a pleasure to be here, but it's a privilege to have been asked by Anders if I would celebrate and preach. Anders and I knew each other when I was Bishop of St. Albans, and you won't be surprised to know that I learnt a very great deal from both Anders and Jules when I was there. And they introduced us to all things ecumenical in both Sweden and Italy. So ever since then, our friendship has just remained absolutely solid. So yes, it's a privilege to be here as a bishop, but it's equally a privilege to be here with two such dear friends. Thank you very, very much both. As you know, when Hans Fibusch was commissioned to create the statue just over there, that statue of John the Baptist, Hans Fibusch was 75 years old. He was having trouble with his eyesight, and he decided that he needed to try a new artistic medium. Up to that point, he'd been sketching, he'd been creating beautiful murals, but his eyesight was going. And this is what he said about the new artistic medium that at 75 he was experimenting with. I quote, "When I first took a lump of clay into my hands, I felt myself suddenly overcome by a passionate excitement towards this new world that seemed to spring out of the depths of my being. I battle with the stiffness of my old hands and the slowness of my old brain, the limitations of my sight and the tiredness of my old limbs. Yet, I love it. New ideas and shapes still rise in my mind, and I still hope to bring some of them to life." Now that's a wonderful insight into the artistic process, that something that is hidden and has been unexplored has suddenly and unexpectedly broken through the surface of consciousness and awaits realization. That was Hans Fibusch. Think of the same passionate excitement and intensity taking hold of St. Luke when he composed his gospel. We don't know how old he was when he first put quill to vellum, but the stories must have been churning around in his soul for a long time, perhaps for as long as 20 or 30 years. And then, when he finally began to write, he began with a traditional and careful opening paragraph. I quote, "To Theophilus, many writers have undertaken to draw up an account of the events that have taken place amongst us. It's classical, slightly understated, but then comes the serious and considered first paragraph of his story. And you can sense the excitement just underneath the artistic surface. This is what he wrote. "In the reign of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, and he set the scene for divine epiphanies, for angelic messengers, for an announcement of the forerunner of the Messiah." And Luke then intercuts that episode with the story of the Annunciation and Mary's visit to Elizabeth, and then concludes with an outburst of poetry that we know as the Benedictus. John the Baptist has been born. At which point he paused for a coffee. Okay. One more chapter, and then he leaps through time and introduces us to John the Baptist as an adult out in the wilderness, beginning the work of calling people to repentance. And what were John's first words? He said, according to Luke, "Vipers brood, who warned you to escape from the wrath to come?" Now, within those words, I suspect there is a controlled fury lurking. Luke, as an artist, is disciplining what Hans Feibusch called passionate excitement and using it to shape his material and to give it an edge.